Okay. Can I have your attention, please? We wanted to get this little workshop started where we could ask some questions. Bing, do you want to come a little bit closer so I'll be sure to get in on this microphone? I know that this man that's sitting over there very shyly had some really good questions about the dancing and about Vietnamese life. One of them was, if I remember, he wanted to know whether men always do the dancing, or whether men ever do the dance.
Most of the time, the girl will be in the dance a lot, but we do have some type of dance the men will be in there, mm-hmm. like the comedy dance or some other type of custom dance.
And also, he was asking whether all the dances were very slow.
No, not really. We have all type of dance. This one type of not really slow, but we have some other slower than that. And we have some fast dance we call fox dance. And
fox? Kind
of fox dance.
Oh, folk dance.
Yeah, folk dance.
Let's see. There was another. What was your other question? There were a couple of them.
No, that's about all. I was wondering maybe then how is this considered an old dance? I mean, was it made up recently?
Uh-huh. I see. Was this considered an old?
Yeah, this one's got like an old dance. You know, we bring it from Vietnam and we make up some change, some rhythm.
So you put some steps in that might not have been there before,
right,
but the dance itself is...
Yeah, it's kind of like from time to time. Uh-huh. It's kind of like an old dance. Yeah. But see, we don't have to use this one. We have other type material. But it's, I couldn't get it, so we have to buy this one to make it up.
How did you make the costumes?
The costume is already been known from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And most of the girls knew it, and they just give an idea together, and we make it up. And,
so you had to sew them here in the States?
Yeah, we have to show them here in the States.
Well, they're certainly beautiful. What are the, were the shawls brought from Vietnam?
This one?
This
one is from here. I just bought it yesterday.
Oh,
what about
last
the other
night.
Ones? What about the other ones?
The other one, we have to buy the material and cut it off and make it. I have it before, but I lost. I have only one left, so. Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the traditional costume.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Does the dance come from any particular part of Vietnam?
No, it will be for both South and North, they will be used. And this is telling a story about the angel group, you know, they just playing under the moon and dancing and singing, things like that.
A group of angels dancing in the sky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just imagine a story. Mm-hmm.
And when I was standing up on the stage, I was saying that from what you had told me, that it was usually performed at Tet?
Yeah, it was for the Tet dance. Or the, like a memory day, some other memory day.
What other memory days would it be for?
We maybe have it for the Christmas day or for the Middle Autumn Festival.
But what are the main memory days for in Vietnamese culture?
We have a most of them just like in America. But for the dancing, you know, it's just used for the Tet or the Christmas or Mid-Autumn.
And what's the one, the Mid-Autumn one, is the one relating to the moon?
Yeah, related to the moon, and the children will be playing with the lying all the time. They just make up the eyes.
What is the name of that mid-autumn holiday?
Tết Trung Thu. It is translated to mid-autumn festival.
And when does that happen?
It's supposed to on August the 15th in our calendar. But it's different from yours. It's maybe between September or November.
I was just thinking maybe the girls would like to say their names one by one so that we have a record of who they are.
Yeah, you can ask them the question. You know, they okay. They all in. Oh yeah, we have that, but it's using a lot of the custom, you know, makeup.
The girls have their own crayons before they're married and use them in their wedding.
We have that kind of band too, but it takes long, maybe about 15 minutes to finish that band.
I know. What are you doing?
I was just thinking that maybe all of you dancers would like to say your names one by one so that we have a record of who you all were, who did the dance. Can we just start at mental eye? Okay, start on this side.
My name is Kim.
Kim, and what is your last name?
Nguyen.
Kim Tran.
My name is Nga Ho, and it's Oi Ho. My
name is Tammy. Oh, that's really good. Are you all from the same area of Vietnam?
No, it's different area.
Are you all from villages or from large towns or just a mixture?
Village.
They're from a small village.
They're mostly from small villages.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Kim, did you ever have you did you know this dance before when you were in your village or in your town? So you learned it here.
Yeah. I did join a group.
Did any of you ever do this particular dance or other dances like this when you were back in Vietnam? One other thing, how did you learn to dance? That's one thing, because I'm not very good at dancing, and I always am amazed that people can.
We just learned that somebody teach us.
Did your parents teach you, or did you watch your mother?
Mostly they will be have it at school first, and then start from there. And become a professional.
Do people learn ever by just watching when a dance happens in a village, just watching the dance and then learning the steps that way, or is it more?
Yeah, like myself, I learn it from watching and then I make up something. Uh-huh.
So, and Bing, how did you learn? You dance too.
Yeah, I dance too, but I just mostly watch them. I never danced in Vietnam. I just watched in Vietnam, and then like, when I came here, you know, I wanted to keep some of the customs. So I quiet for the girl to celebrate on the tape day or the Christmas.
People that just sat down, do you have any questions that you would like to ask? Because this is just sort of an open, informal meeting.
Oh, we did.
It was listed for about 12:30, and what we're doing now is asking questions of people. If you want to,
I have a lot of friends, you know, from over there. Mm-hmm. Had been invited to one of their parties, but I didn't go. But I won't come see this. It's all over.
Yeah, but if you'd like to ask some questions of the dancers, you'd be most welcome.
Well, thank you.
Can be glad
No, we've got 15 minutes.
Không còn ai mà làm nữa.
Không ấy đâu.
Thôi không làm đừng làm.
But you think that he was saying that they could redo it. I don't know.
I have no problem with that.
You know, if you'd like to.
Sure. You don't have to record just a tape bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to go back out there and just write it again?
Read it again.
Those people,
there'll be a lot of people
that
haven't seen it yet.
You know what? Then let's.
Those
people.
Người chẳng bao nhiêu là múa nhà lắm. Lơ là quá đi không. Múa múa không ai coi đâu. Nó hứng. Nó hứng.
Let me go tell them. Would you go tell those people
mình
that they're going to be
doing
the dancing that
really
go?
He just got you committed.
Right here. Tell them. One other thing. I was interested in the music. Did you all record that music or is it a popular song?
Yeah, we recorded. That's Luan Chuan.
Oh, really? That's lovely. So you just recorded it right here, like at your home? Or
yeah.
Is that the music that you would also use? Huh? Back in Vietnam,
if
you dance.
They use some of the other songs.
But that's
yes.
Does anyone ever use the older sort of classes?
I don't know.
So people don't. People normally use the. They use this sort of more popular.
I think some of them they don't using the singing. You know, just playing the not really classical, but you know, just without the voice, just with the instrument.
I see. With just instruments, but no singing. Well, since we're winging maybe we can just do the dance takes about 7 minutes.
Yes. They
yeah, they were thinking they would like to do it again because there were some people that
invited,
didn't see it.
And they invite at 1 o'clock.
Oh,
okay. What are you saying?
Okay.
Không muốn nhảy, không muốn
nhảy nữa. I don't know where it was made at. It's a Stradivarius.
Really?
Really old original Stradivarius. One of the 12 firsties that was ever made. Got offered $1,000 for it. My grandson was married. He married my granddaughter. He jumped out and told that person, you better get in that truck, that thing you got there and leave. I said, I'll find my fish down your throat to my elbow before you take $1,000. I said, that thing is worth some money. Now, I'd sell it if I could get something out of it, but I wouldn't take $1,000 for it.
It's going. You were saying that you learned a few pieces off the radio.
Yeah, I did. Mac O'Dell, when the radio was first come out, and I got me a radio, and I played that, and then he played another one about on there. I don't know whether it's a church song or not, about may I sleep in your barn tonight, mister. No, I might have heard that one. And gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. I play them through a whole lot. And I play different pieces. But there's one I want to play, if it's all right. It's a kind of a little sort of fast piece about wading through deep water. My pastor, nearly every night at church, he wants me to play it. Of course, I got good guitar pickers in the church. Organ players and piano players, and they told me, said, I don't see how in the world you play with us. Said, we don't know one note from another one. Said, but we play by notes, and you're playing right along with us. I said, well, what am I doing? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm just playing the fiddle. Said, well, you're playing by note. I said, no, I ain't. I said, I'm playing by air. I'd argue with him, you know.
So you play in the church still?
Yes, sir. I play in there every Wednesday night, Sunday night. Go to singing. We go to a lot of singing. And I got a guitar picker and a man and his wife. And my wife, I don't care where it comes from, they just can't make no pretty music in us. I can't sing much now, but I tell you, I ain't bragging, but I ain't never seen no kind of instrument that I couldn't strike a tune on after I dabbled in it. I got an old mouth harp in my pocket now. I picked it up from my pocket a while ago. The fella come down here, I think he can blow it. I'm going to try to get him to blow it, so I'm going back whenever we leave out. I ain't tried this thing. I ain't blowed that thing. I ain't picked it up in a year. What would you say if I blowed it up here?
Five?
I'm going to try it. I ain't going to blow it up.
That's great. Well, when did you stop playing in the bars?
Well, it's been 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Me and this fella at Frey's, he got to the bars. We made whiskey. And after I got saved, he said, well, if the Lord will save a man like Mike Thomas, said he can sure save me. He said Mike was meaner than I was. And back then, when I was young, well, I just do things I ought to not do. And the old boy, I heard of him, started going to church. Well, I requested prayer for him at the church. Everybody went to pray for him. The next thing I heard of him, he quit going to the juke joint. I sent him word. I said, hey, now, says, how about coming down here if you can play some church pieces with me? Said, I'll be the happiest in the world, Mike. Come on down. Said, I got something to tell you. We went down there, and the trouble is, we get together, we don't know when to quit. We just don't know when to quit. We just keep going and going and going. We enjoy it. He goes to church now. He took us out of the juke joints and stopped us from fighting. And things that we ought not do.
So you played church music all along, though.
Yeah.
That's what you started on.
Yeah, that's what I started on. My daddy wouldn't let me play nothing. Daddy told me, he said, if I ever do hear you playing Cotton Eye Joe on the fiddle, said, I'm going to whoop you, boy. Well, I got a rock and whoop it. When he go off, and Daddy promised you something, he give it to me. Uh-huh. Now he done it.
So he heard you playing it.
And he went to town. And he had to come back to the house or something. And we live out on the back porch. I was whooping Cotton Eye Joe to him. Brown grape. I got raised up. He's standing there with an old mule whip with a persimmon stock in it. Said, son, said, I got to do what I told you I did. I laid him fiddle down, walked up to him. I said, all right, Daddy. I called him Paul. I said, all right, Paul. I said, you told me not to do it. And he said, are you going to play it anymore? I said, Paul, I don't want to do nothing to worry and have to break you. I said, but I'm sure of it. He said, well, I said, I'm going to tell you. He said, you can play anything you want to. Says, but don't play no dirty pieces. Don't use no dirty words. And I said, okay, and I take that for a lesson. I did. Mm-hmm.
Do you still play the hoedown tunes? You still play Cotton Eye Joe?
Yeah, do
you?
I still play that. Fairly good. I play it. I enjoy it. When I get down there at the house and sit down there and play it for a long time. I can't hold out to play like I used to, so I have heart trouble, lung trouble, high blood. And, of course, I got the medicine with me. I can tell when I feel getting weak or something, but I take it from the medicine. It boosts you. Yeah, but it ain't dope.
Yeah.
It's not dope. It's about the medicine. Mm-hmm. Tablets is what I'm saying. I enjoy playing, and I'm trying to do this to help my seven men. We've some faith in my seven men up there, and they're trying to buy the old schoolhouse up there. So I'm trying to make what little I can.
Sure.
My retirement ain't too much, and I was a retired barber. One fella, I went back up to the shop to sit down, and the shop was full of people just sitting around gossiping. He said, that's the man right there that's worked for me 15 years. He said that he lost 2 days. He said he killed a turkey each morning and come back by here and showed it to me. And said, I tried to get him to make the day, and he wouldn't do it. Said he could have done it. He could have made the day. But now, I could go to that. He's bagged me everywhere in the world. Said, if you don't cut but 2 heads of hair a day, he said, I'll buy your license and give you all you make. You'll come back in here, says, and bar. Said, I've lost. Said, I've lost all kind of customers since you left that. But I'm going to tell you, when you cut a man's hair, you got to cut it back in the tail. I still cut hair at my house now. But your old friend, I guess say now one of my friends come along and want a haircut, I cut his hair. Somebody offered, ain't got no electricity. I got hands gloves. I take them old hands gloves and go over to cut the hair. And if a fella's running for an office, and I dig out to get him in there, I'm not about to get him in there. If I got a little bit of help on the side, they go around to these places where he ain't gonna vote for it. Got a bunch of youngins. I say, now I'll help you if you'll help me. What's that? Well, now I think this so-and-so's a good man. I said, how about let's put him in office? Well, no, I can't. I said, you're letting your little boys run out here with long hair when they look sick with that long hair. I said, why don't you let me cut your hair and you vote for this man? He said, you know, I never saw nothing like that. He said, I'll do it. He said, I'll pay you for the haircut. I said, no, I'll give you the haircut. Got through with him. I said, you get up here. I said, I'm going to cut yours too. He got up there, and you'd be surprised how much I can help a man.
Uh-huh.
These two fellas in the race now. I don't know how they're going to come out. But they say that they're both good men.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really good men.
Yeah, it's a hard election.
There were so many in that race that time. I think it's about 17 or 18 of them.
Starting out?
And some of them said, why do you think about it? I said, well, hey, but one of them going to get the job. I said, somebody's going to get a
mm-hmm. I'm curious, going back to fiddling, if there was anybody up around, well, you were over in Alabama. You grew up in Alabama.
Yeah, I grew up in
Alabama. Was there anybody around your hometown that you learned a special lot from? Anybody who taught you more than anybody else?
Not around. Now, I've got some folks up around from me. Me and him played together. And if I could have got him to come down, we could have really made it a lot better. And if we ever have it again, I'm going to try to do it.
Now, I was wondering about the men you learned from.
They do.
They're all there.
They're all done.
But was there maybe one or another that you learned, who taught you more than anybody else?
No, I mostly picked up all of mine by myself. My uncle. Well, I'd get my uncle when they'd come around to tune the fiddle. Maybe I'd ask them to play one. And he'd say, now I didn't put a little extra taste to this year. And you'll learn something by that. That's the only learning help that I had. I got it right by myself. Just picked it up from the ground. It's the old saying, the hard way.
Uh-huh.
That was the way I got it.
How long did it take you to learn Cotton Eye Joe?
Well, after I learned to play them two pieces, that was the next one I started on when Daddy was out of the way. And I'd get it, and I'd strike it once in a while, and directly I could say, where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. And I got that. I'd stop. I'd study up. I'd say, yeah, I hear my uncle singing a little bit. He said, way before the day when the chicken began to crow, get down the grease wagon, old Cotton Eye Joe. And I got that. And from there, I just...
So the first one was Old Time Religion.
Yes, sir.
And the second one was what again?
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. And then Cotton Eye Joe. Do you remember the fourth one?
Sally Gooden.
Sally Gooden. After a while, it kind of snowballs, and it's hard to remember which one.
Yeah, it is. And old-timey pretty pieces that y'all don't know nothing about. Now, I'll tell you some of them that I play as Old Slow to Fast Wind Gander on the Table Hill. Y'all ain't never heard of that.
Uh-uh.
And going up Cripple Creek, going in a room.
I know that one.
Going up Cripple Creek to have a little fun, I play that one. And, or just lots of pieces. Black Eyed Susie, yeah, that was another one I learned right off.
Uh-huh.
I've had a lot of fun with it.
Did you ever play any, like, Billy in the Low Ground, or?
No, I used to play it. I ain't played that in so long. I don't know what I could even play.
8th of January?
No, I ain't played that in a long time. Me and my fiddler up at Flomington, we play them together when we get together, and then it comes to me. But just right off by myself, I just in pieces of
cake.
We play a lot together. I play in lots of different churches. Not because I belong to the Assembly of God Church. I don't only play there. I play in the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian Church, and any church in Lindbach.
Huh.
And I play all over the country around. And
now, this is the fiddle you got when you started.
This fiddle was given to me about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I've got two more at home. My boy sent me one about 35 years ago from overseas.
And you've got your original fiddle still, have you?
Yes, I got the one I learned.
And that was from your grandfather?
My grandfather on my mother's side, and it was Grandpa White's fiddle, Daddy's fiddle on the other side. And so I've been sitting on my porch before I sold out over where I live, and straight across the field it was a mile and a quarter. And one town night I was sitting there playing, and a mile and a quarter I was sitting there playing, gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, and a man rung the telephone and asked my wife, says, "Sister Tony," says, "your husband playing the fiddle?" Said, "He sure is." Says, "He's playing gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, ain't he?" Said, "He sure is." Said, "How did you know?" Says, "It's all up in the air over my house." And, you know, that helped a fiddle a whole lot. But it's a loud fiddle, that little one is. But I don't play it. I've done retired it. I put it in a box. It's got strings on it.
Do you play left-handed or right-handed?
Now, I used to play with a left-handed fella. Played left-handed, he played
over
the
bass.
Right?
Like so?
He tuned it, he strung his fiddle up just like I did when he played over
right?
the bass.
No kidding. Oh,
and I'll tell you, he could get it, too.
Is that
he,
right?
He could say, "Boy, you're going to have to get out of what you're in, boy. You got." He said, "Get on the going wagon, boy." And when he would, I got a wide double wrap going. He said, "Cut it out, boy. Don't you double wrap that thing on me?" I said, "Let's go, boy. Let's go." I said, "It's far in the mountain now." And that's an old piece that I used to play, "Far in the Mountain, One Boy's Room." And it's that. I hope y'all don't know that to me. That was something we used to play. And I played an old piece about the Arkansas Trout a long time ago. I ain't played it. I couldn't tell when. And a fellow was at my house playing a fiddle one time, and he was saying it all. And he said, "Why don't you cover your house?" He said, "Well, it's a raining." I said, "Well, why don't you cover it when it ain't a rain?" He said, "Well, when it don't rain, it won't leak." He said, "What's between you and a fool?" He said, "Just my fiddle bow." Y'all young men, I love to talk with fellas like that. Seem like they're interested in hearing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pleasure to me. I'll have something to go back home next week. Every time I think about it, I tell my wife. I call her Mama. "Mama, I run up with some of the best boys. Y'all's ears burn. I'll be talking about you, but it won't be nothing bad."
Well, sure. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to me talking to you.
I love that fella. When I got where I could play the first piece, the old time religion, I was in the crib, little old log crib door. I sat there and I got where I could scratch. Oh boy, I said, "I got this and I can't lose it now." I jumped down and run the house. I said, "Mom, Mom, Mom, just one word in it, son. I said, I can play the fiddle now. Play old time and liberty. She said, play it for me, son. I got on it and I couldn't do nothing but teach her. I said, I'm going back to the barn and I'm going to stay there. I said, don't call me for no supper. I'm going to stay there to learn how to play it before I can play it for you. She said, well, I sure won't get. I went back out. When I got in the crib door, I went to play it again and I just kept playing. And I seen her listening. And I got it, and I was scared I'd lose it. I played it all the way to the house. I said, Mom, do you hear me now? Do you hear me, Mom? She said, sure I hear you, son. She said, that's good. She bragged on me, you know. And I seen one of my uncles coming. I grabbed my fiddle. I said, how are we sure I can play this thing now? And boy, he was a fiddle. And I just, you know, just learning. I could track that one piece. So he come over there. I got on the back porch. I said, Mom, don't tell Uncle Silas what I'm a playing around here and see if he can tell what I'm playing. He said, just ask him. He come over in and said, Evelyn, that's my mother's name. I said, Mike, doing good on that old fiddle. He said, he played on time in Lincoln, isn't he? He come over around there and said, he said, I want you to strike down on another. He said, you can, let me tune the fiddle. He says, a little bit out of tune. Well, I didn't know just how to tune it. Either. And he says, now, says, this is piece of Amazing Grace. He said, don't you play it. He played, and I watched his finger and watched that unit. I got a hold of it.